the Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journals, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible Girl too. Welcome to the podcast today. I'm excited to do something a little bit different, something we haven't done in this scale on the podcast before. I've been wanting to do some talking about scripture prayers and not just, you know, explaining how to do it, but instead of giving you a lot of lessons on it, actually experience it with you. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about it, and then we're going to dive right in, and I'm going to give you some guided prayer prompts so that you can pray scripture yourself. I have been wanting to do this for a while, haven't found the right passage or really the right theme or time. But I feel like right now is a very timely moment for me to do something like this. And we're going to use a psalm that I think will help us as we look at the circumstances of our lives. Here in the United States, where I live, we've just finished a rather complicated and diverse election cycle. We've had a presidential election last week, and during the year and a half, 2 years leading up to it, it's just been a lot of drama and a lot of chaos, and there's a lot of people today, whether your candidate won or not, who are worried about the state of our country here in America. And I wanted to address that in a non-political way because I don't endorse a particular candidate or a particular party. I really want to deal with this from a spiritual issue, which is what we're here on the podcast for. Regardless of who you voted for, I know that you're worried about our economy. You're worried about your ability to raise your family with the freedoms you've always enjoyed. You're worried about the sanctity of life. You're worried about the terrorism and a lot of the safety that we kind of took for granted for many years that we feel is gone now, and just so many conflicts here in our own country and issues that we're dealing with globally that can cause us to fear and to be worried about our future. And so I want to go through a psalm of lament today. This is a psalm, a personal psalm of lament. There are two kinds of sadness psalms or laments in the book of Psalms. Some of them are corporate laments, which are acknowledging that we have failed as a group, we have messed up, and those are often used in church services and corporate type worship. But there are also personal laments, things where the psalmist would be talking about some kind of sadness or sorrow or fear they are personally facing. And so I've chosen a personal lament today because I wanted you to be able to tailor it toward whatever it is that you are afraid of and whatever the overwhelming, troubling things in your life are right now. So I know that it's not going to take you very long. I don't need to pause for you to go and think of what those things might be. Our fears, our insecurities, our worries, our anxiety, those things are all close to the surface. And so what I would like to do is I want to read Psalm 3 in its entirety, and then I'm going to give you a little commentary on some of the parts of the psalm, just to kind of explain it to you and add some insight to the psalm. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray this psalm together, and I'll give you some instruction when we get to that point so that you can follow along. And this is a case where having the show notes is going to be very helpful for a couple of reasons. If you download them before we do the prayer, you'll actually have what I'm saying in front of you so that you can reread that as you're praying in case you've forgotten everything that was mentioned. Also, I think this is something that you would be able to benefit from doing in the future. Just, you know, your problems. I hate to say this in case you were laboring under some false illusions, your problems aren't going to stop. You know, you're always going to have problems. The problems you have now might go away, but problems are going to keep coming. And so this is something that you may want to revisit from time to time. This might be something that if you're struggling with anxiety and fear, this is something that you may want to do often. So I would encourage you to print the show notes out. They have all of the prayer prompts that we're going to go over a little bit later in the podcast. So let me jump in. I'm going to read you Psalm 3. I'm reading from the ESV. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. This is a Psalm of David. It was written when he fled from Absalom, his son. If you are familiar with that story at all, you probably remember the famous way that Absalom died. David and his son Absalom were fighting, and eventually at some point they had a large skirmish. They each had a team of soldiers, and Absalom was trying to take over the kingdom, and his horse ran under a tree, and his hair got caught. His long hair got caught in the branches of the tree, and he actually was hanging there, and that's part of how he died. That a lot of people remember that about Absalom, but David, in this particular instance, he is running away. His son is actually getting traction and taking over parts of the kingdom, and David has fled for his life. And so he is starting this lament, this fear and worried dialogue with God, and he's saying that there are so many people rising against me. Many are my foes. I don't know how big Absalom's army was. I would imagine he says a little bit later about, thousands of people who have set themselves around him. So there's a lot of people. I don't know how many problems you have, but I know sometimes our problems seem so big that it seems like there are thousands of people against us. What is your foe? Who or what is against you right now? What is blocking the life that you want? There's something there that's causing you anxiety and fear. We've mentioned before, it might be political or something that affects everyone. The problems in our country, the issues of racial tension and the seemingly ineffective attempts at racial reconciliation that so many believers pray for just seems to be slipping further and further away. What about even just in your own home? Think of some of the things that you deal with. Many of you are probably dealing with debilitating illnesses. I have friends that live in constant pain that they deal with day in and day out. People with a bad diagnosis from the doctor, people living with ongoing conditions that will never be resolved, that will always be a part of their life. What about your relationships? Are you struggling with family? Do you have a child that's struggling in school and you don't know how to help them? Or are you having a child that's far from God? Or maybe you don't have any children and you and your husband really would love to have a baby. Maybe you're struggling with infertility or divorce. Family tensions and separations that happens that seems so often these days. There are problems in your job. There are financial issues. There are struggles in your marriage. Even the best marriages have problems and difficulties along the way. So in this one, you know, David is starting out by naming his foes. You know, he says, there are people that are rising against me. And so we start out when we pray through this by naming those things. What are those things that are causing us this anxiety and this fear and this sadness? He goes on to say that people are saying about him, there's no, you know, nobody's going to help him. God's not coming to his rescue. And when I read this, the first thing I think about is the voices that are in your head. And some of them sound a lot like people in your life, people that have discouraged you or made life difficult for you. I recently watched the Disney movie, The Princess and the Frog. And the young girl in there who becomes the princess, she wants to open a, at the beginning, she wants to open a restaurant. And her friends and her coworkers, they all discourage her and say that she can't do it. And I remember watching it thinking, boy, she needs new friends. These people are terrible. But the truth is that we all have people in our lives who tend to discourage us or those harsh voices, those critic voices, who constantly maybe notice the things that we aren't doing well or the things that we are struggling in and draw attention to them. Or maybe it's yourself. This is another one I've become attuned to myself. The voices in my head, the way I think and speak of myself. I build up my own anxiety and my own fear by the way that I talk to myself. The voices in my head. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the voices that are making your fear and anxiety worse? Or are you listening to the voices that speak truth? The truth of God's word and his deliverance, the truth of God's promises and his faithfulness. Those are the voices that we need to cling to. And we need to ask God to silence those voices that are speaking otherwise, that would turn us away from our faith and our trust in God. In verse 3, he says that God is a shield about him. And this was something I specifically wanted to talk about in today's podcast. I was going to go a little bit of a different route with this, but I decided to do the scripture prayer instead. But I wanted to just briefly mention that this concept of a shield about me is so important to remember. God is, he is your defense. He is the shield that wraps around you. I'm a huge superhero fan, and my favorite superhero is Captain America. And there's a lot of things I love about Captain America, but one of the things that's really cool is when he kind of uses his shield to protect someone else. If you'll notice, sometimes maybe one of his team members that he's fighting against or someone he's trying to rescue, he'll grab a hold of them, hold them up against him, and pull the shield over them. And then whatever's happening, whether it's, you know, some weird weapon from an alien or whatever it is, guns or whatever, that shield protects them. Whoever's huddled there with him underneath that shield has that same protection. And so imagine that God is that shield and you are huddled behind it. He is covering around you so that whatever is happening around you is not getting to you. And God is your defense and he covers you. And I think that's so important to realize when we're in situations that seem so big. Right now, currently, the political climate in our country is so tumultuous and seems so, the average person can't imagine how we fix it at this point. And that thing just seems so huge and we're all living in it. But yet we don't need to carry that around with us. Because God is our protector and he's our defender and he will step in and he will do those things. We don't need to hold on to those ourselves. If we're going to be wrapped up in that shield, we can let all the rest of those things go. He is also the lifter of your head. And this one is good because oftentimes we feel a need to prove ourselves, to prove something to someone else, or we live with shame because of the things that we think we're messing up or that we're doing wrong or that these problems that we're facing are somehow a reflection of us. But because of Christ, you do not need to prove anything. And because Christ is your defender, you can lift your head high and walk in confidence because he is the one who is watching out for you and guiding and directing your steps. There's no need for shame or insecurity. There's no need to walk with a head bowed low. We can lift our head high knowing that God is on his throne and he's in control. David then goes on to talk about he cried out to the Lord. And this is one of the things about the Psalms that are so touching to so many people is the Psalms are full of raw emotion. They're full of someone in touch with how they feel. Whoever is writing the Psalm, you can clearly see their fears, their pain, their sorrow, their joy, their confidence. You can see all of those things in their words. They are being very in tune with their emotions. So David is doing the same. He's crying aloud to God. His fear and his frustration and his situation has led him to be vocal with God about it. But then he says, when I did that, he answered me. He answered me, he stepped in and he answered the situations that I was, what I was struggling with. He gave me answers. You know, God answers when we call him, if we're willing to share our honest emotion and ask our real questions. When we come to him with the real honest part of our soul and we cry out to him with that and we ask for his help and we ask for answers, he responds and he will give them to us. Because of this, David goes on and says that he laid down and slept and woke again, for the Lord sustained him. The idea of lying down and sleeping is that he's in a vulnerable position. Someone is trying to destroy him. And yet he needs to be able to rest to fight the next day. And so he's vulnerable, and yet God sustains him. He deliberately attributes the fact that he woke up the next day to the protection and the sustaining of God in that circumstance. God sustains us today through his word, through his people, and through prayer with him. He sustains us when we have things that we go through in life, when we come to him and we talk it over and he gives us answers. That is a method of sustaining us. But he also sustains us through the people in our lives, the people who speak truth, the people who come along beside us in our circumstances and sit with us, the people who maybe don't have any answers, but they have hugs and they have warm cups of coffee and they have hands that can hold yours and hear and listen when you speak. He uses these people in his word and prayer to sustain us in the difficult times. If you aren't feeling sustained, I just want to say, are you reading his word? Are you talking to him in prayer? And are you doing these things in conjunction with other believers who can be the hands and feet of Jesus? So many times I've heard people say that I just don't feel the comfort of God when I'm going through situations like you talk about. But I often look at their lives and I begin to ask them some questions and I realize that they're not putting themselves in the right soil to receive these things. They will only grow in those areas if they allow themselves to participate in them. You're not going to have the community and the comfort of other believers unless you talk to them about what's going on in your life and share the difficulties that you're facing and your fears and your worries and your sadness, and you let them know those things about you and be able to build into your life. I would caution, make sure if you're sharing anything incredibly deep and personal that you make sure that person is reliable and trustworthy. Sometimes we share too much too soon, and sometimes we share too much with the wrong people. You want to make sure that when you're really pouring out your soul, it's someone who can handle that. But when it comes to community with other believers, get in a good small group, go to a good church and start serving there. Serving is the best way to get to meet other people who love Jesus and who are faithful to him that can help you when you reach these issues and problems. He says, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Yes, his problems are big, but he had no reason to fear. The problem is that we focus on big problems when we have little answers. When our answers are small and tiny and we know they're not adequate to the problem, we just focus on how big the problem is because we see no way to solve it. But ultimately, most of these problems aren't ours to solve. They're either God's to solve in his timing, and sometimes he gives us a role to play in that. Sometimes he asks of us something that will solve the issue. But generally, our part is to begin to pray and to seek good counsel and to talk to God about these things and allow him to bring about the answers. We need to make sure that we focus on God who has the answers. And we need to make sure that we talk to God who has the answers. And if we do that, then we don't need to be afraid of all of these problems. Yes, tens of thousands of people David faced, but he did not fear because he knew the one who sustained him, who gave him rest at night, who watched over him, who surrounded him like a shield and answered his questions and gave him guidance. He knew those things, and so he had no reason to fear. Here in this last section, he says, "Arise, O Lord, and save me." He asks God to intervene, to move. Can you please move on these things? Can you have some action that I can see? Now, this is something that we do often, and I think this is important, to ask God for something and even to tell him, this is how I'd like it to work out. This is what I want to happen. We can certainly ask for those things, but understand that he may not move in the way we ask. And can I say, he probably won't move in the way you ask. The more I bring big problems to God and small problems to God, the more I realize that my solutions are always too shallow, that his solutions are much richer and much better. And so I may not get the actual way I wanted something, but he answers it in a way I would not have imagined, and in a way that's ultimately much better for me and for anyone else involved in the problem. So yes, ask God to move. Pour out your heart. Tell him what you need. But also acknowledge that his will is best, and that even when his will might take a little while or his will might not make sense to you at the time, acknowledge that his will is always in your best interest and is always the path that will move you forward and will give him glory. It's interesting here. He talks about striking enemies on the cheek, breaking the teeth of the wicked. This is a kind of a strange request. What he's asking for is something that stops their ability to actually breaking off the teeth of their enemy was something they would do to make their enemy weak. They couldn't chew their food. And so as a result, they couldn't eat food that kept them physically strong and sustained them. And so this is kind of, he's basically saying to make my enemies weak so that I can clearly see your strength and the weakness of them. And a good way to pray this is to ask God to make your problem smaller. oftentimes we elevate our problems and we make them big things. And many times they actually aren't big problems. We've just blown them up into something huge. So in some cases, it's good to ask God, you know, help me see my problems clearly. Bring them back down to their rightful size. And specifically, when you look at any problem and parallel that next to God, put that next to God, that problem should shrink greatly. And so that kind of is what he's asking for there. You know, make them weak so that they have no abilities anymore to cause me any fear or any anxiety. And something that's important to remember when we pray about this, David specifically, you know, asking God to take care of his enemies. And you may feel like you have some enemies in your life. Let me just say, as an important reminder, is that ultimately our enemy is Satan. You know, the person that's causing problems in your life, if there's someone there that's specifically causing a problem, or maybe you're unhappy, you know, I mentioned earlier about our election. Maybe you feel like whoever whoever you didn't vote for, you know, the other person, they're the enemy. Let me just say that Satan is our enemy. And everyone else is living a life that, well, everyone else is possibly, depending on the situation of the person, I don't know the situation in your life, but you either don't see them clearly, and they're maybe not as bad a person as you realize, maybe your view is flawed, or maybe they are being an instrument of evil in your life. But ultimately, Satan is our enemy, and he's the one who needs to be defeated, and he's the evil that needs to be struck on the cheek and the breaking the teeth of the wicked. Because for now, God has allowed Satan to have free reign in this earth as long as he chooses not to intervene. Sometimes God does intervene. And so until Jesus comes back, Satan is going to be a reality here. We are going to have those problems. He is going to be stirring up problems in the world. And so as a result, what we need to remember is that he is our ultimate enemy. And we need to pray that God will weaken his influence in the world while he's still, while we're still stuck here with his influence, that he would weaken it and that evil would not triumph, but that good would triumph over evil. He ends by saying, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be on your people. Only God can defeat the problems in your life. We can work and we can stress and we can strive, but our solutions are only band-aids. The only person with the Neosporin is God. He's the one that heals. He's the one that cleans out the impurities. He is the one that provides the balm of healing. All of our solutions are just going to be slapping something over top the problem so we don't have to see it. God is the only one who can heal it." David says this, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. The only one who's going to come and rescue us is God. And we may have to wait for this salvation. It may not come at the moment we want it. It may not come for a long time. God moves when he wills, and we can't understand his timing or the method of his actions. His ways are higher than ours, as the scriptures tell us. But know that God is the only one who can move to defeat these problems in your life." Now, what I'd like to do is take a few moments to talk about how we're going to do this scripture prayer time. I am going to read a prompt and then I'm going to pause to allow you a couple of minutes to pray. And what I would like to do, what I would like to say is I did not want a long silence in between each of these, because some people might pray longer than others, and I didn't want you to have to sit there with a lot of silence, but I didn't want to cut it too short for people who wanted to go longer. So what I've decided to do is I'm going to put 10 seconds in between each prompt. 10 seconds is long enough for you to kind of pause it on your player, whatever you're listening to, whether you're listening to it on your computer, on your phone, or however, you can just tap the pause button and stop it, and then pray as long as you need to. And when you're ready to start back up again, go ahead and press the play button and we'll resume and we'll go on to the next one. That way we don't have to worry about people having to fast forward through a lot of silence if they're a little faster at praying. Also, a couple tips I just wanted to say, take the amount of time that you need. Some people just are wordier. You know, that's certainly me. I always say this is going to be a short podcast and then it ends up being twice as long as I thought. So some people just need more words than other people. So take the time that you need. Another thing is to be really honest with God. As I give you these prompts and as we talk about, as I give them to you and as you think about what you want to say to God, don't hold back. God can handle your honesty. The Psalms clearly show us that God can handle the questions and the pain and the anger and the grief that we bring to him. And then lastly, I would encourage you to maybe sit down after you're finished and journal some of this. You can certainly journal as you do it instead. If you'd like to journal your prayer, that you can certainly do that. But I would definitely encourage you, regardless of whatever, whether you do it while you pray or not, I would suggest that at the end, you just take a few minutes and journal some of your thoughts from this exercise. And I feel like a little bit of reflection time on how this went and what this meant to you would be helpful for you to work through. I am going to end the podcast at the end of the prayer. I'm just going to kind of just end it with an amen, and we'll kind of fade out the end of the podcast. So I just wanted to mention to you that you should download the show notes, especially if you'd like to do this in the future, and that the Bible Girl scripture writing for December will be out next Monday. So you'll be able to get it just a little bit earlier than normal. I want to get it out there before the Thanksgiving holidays kind of take over everything. So the scripture writing for next month will show up on the 21st. So you can be looking for that. Okay, go ahead and get yourself a quiet spot. I'm going to give you a couple seconds to get yourself settled, and then we will begin. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Pause here to name your greatest struggles or problems. Tell God about the circumstances, issues, or people who are a source of difficulty for you. Many are saying of my soul, "There is no salvation for him in God." Pause here to reflect on the voices in your life that defeat you or cause you discouragement. It may be a person in your life or your past or your own shame or anger at yourself. Tell God about these voices and ask him to silence them and halt their influence over you. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. Pause for a moment and reflect on this truth. God is a shield around you. What does this protection mean to you? My glory and the lifter of my head. Pause here to think about the confidence you have because God lifts your head high. Thank him for this gift of boldness and courage that comes from knowing that in Christ there is no reason to hide in shame or insecurity. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Pause here to thank God for the answers he's already given to you and for those that are yet to come in your current circumstances. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Pause here to acknowledge the ways God is sustaining you through these circumstances and ask for the ability to see his hand working in you through the details of your life. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Pause here to list some aspects of God's character that remind you there is no need to fear. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Pause here to tell God what you'd like him to do in these circumstances you're facing right now. How do you want God to act on your behalf? And then acknowledge that God's plan may not line up with what you are asking for, but seek surrender to him above all else. Salvation belongs to the Lord. your blessing be on your people. Pause to acknowledge that God is sovereign over the world and that he is good. Because of this, all his actions are ultimately good to us. Ask for the patience and the grace to wait for his blessing and answers in this circumstance. God, I know these people across the globe who listen to this podcast have circumstances weighing on them heavily. It's part of our human condition to worry about the people we care about, to worry about causes, to be passionate about wanting life to be better. And Lord, in the midst of all of that, there are always situations that trip us up, that discourage us, that oppose us. And I ask today that you would remind all of my listeners as they've gone through this prayer that you are good and that you are faithful. And that while you have not taken away our troubles, you have sent us a comforter who will help. Someone who will give us answers and guide us along the way. Will give us peace, will sustain us, will lift our heads and be a shield about us. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us and helps us. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Even in the bad times, your hand is clearly evident that you have not forgotten us. We ask for the grace and the patience to wait for you to move. We thank you for being a good, good God to us. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. Have a great week, guys. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, listen to past episodes, sign up for my newsletter, or download show notes and scripture writing plans. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to download Bible study worksheets and get the latest podcast news. You can also talk with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's Jessie, J-E-S-S-I, L. Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.